Sasquatch is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the so-called knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. Information, visit sasquatch.com. Hi, I'm Seth Breedlove.
And I'm Mark Matsky.
And this is Sasquatch. As of right now, I'm going to say it's episode 6, but it's probably more like 7 or 8 or 9. And we're going to talk in this episode about the Ohio Bigfoot and specific to Ohio, the sightings, some of the sightings that we've heard about, the history, and what we think of the possibility that there might be an undiscovered primate roaming around the Buckeye State.
The grass man is watching.
The grass man. So the way Mark and I met was discussed in the last episode, but after we met, we had decided that we wanted to do something together beyond just hanging out and talking about Bigfoot. So we are attempting to work on putting a book together about the Ohio Bigfoot, and so far it's been slow going, but we thought it would be fun to do an episode where we basically kind of go through some of our research that we've done on the subject and talk about some of the different aspects to the possibility of the Ohio Bigfoot. So, Mark, what you're doing is, the way we're breaking up the book is we're each writing a chapter and then handing it back to the other guy, and the other guy will work on it and then go back and forth that way. Mark is working on a chapter right now on, spoilers for the book, but Mark is working on a chapter on strange creature sightings from the state of Ohio historically. Going back, I don't know how far back he's found them, but I know there are a lot from my minimal research. And my chapter is on the, I guess, the ecosystem and the geography and the topography of Ohio and whether or not it could sustain a Bigfoot. Mark, let's start off and talk about the weird creature sightings from Ohio, because this is really interesting. There's a lot, and you've turned up quite a few. I don't know if you even, you might have something in front of you. If not, that's fine. But what's something, starting off, what is something from the state of Ohio that you had no idea was, you know, seen or heard?
Well, yeah, there is one in particular that always comes to mind, and it is from a very unusual section of research having to do with what are termed as devil monkeys. And devil monkeys.
I'm on board. You don't turn. You could actually stop talking right there, and I'd be fine. Devil monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it conjures to mind, you know, all those nightmares generated by Wizard of Oz. You know, although none of these that I'm aware of
were
flying monkeys, correct? But one that in particular stood out to me. It was fairly recent. It was from 1997, mm-hmm, in a place called Duncansville, Ohio. And I Googled it just to see where Duncansville is, and it's very small. To me, without having been there, it seems like one of those places that there might be a general store, and maybe there was a shed at a four-way stop, and that's Duncansville. I apologize if Duncansville happens to be a booming metropolis that I have no knowledge of. But anyway, in Duncansville, there was a sighting of a devil monkey that was about 3 to 4 feet tall, gray in color. It came bobbing out of the woods, making a gurgling sound. It appeared to have hair on its body about 1.5 inches long. The person who had the sighting claimed that it moved with sort of a skipping sound, walking on its hind legs while using the knuckles one at a time, almost like you would imagine a chimp or a gorilla to move, but with its relative small size. you know, it just is very, very inexplicable to me. It jumped over a barbed wire fence and was gone after she heard some screeching sounds. And so that's a devil monkey sighting from the relatively recent past.
Are there more than, so there's more than one devil monkey?
There are. And there's a range of size, evidently, everywhere from the one that I mentioned here, all the way up to 4 to 6 feet tall. And sometimes there's even juvenile devil monkeys in tow, and they have barrel chest. I mean, what it seems to be that these witnesses are seeing is sort of a stereotypical chimpanzee from the descriptions that I get here. So that's definitely one that up to this point was not really on my radar.
You and I had talked about the, we found two roads in Ohio called related to monkey. What was, I can't even remember now what they were called though. The one was like Monkey Hill or Monkey Hill Road.
Was it Monkey Hollow?
Monkey Hollow. That was yeah. it. I think it was.
Two places.
Two places with that name.
And they, when I compared those on the map, they did correspond to the essential area where you get the most of these sightings from, which happens to be down on the Ohio River border. Mm-hmm. So the southern edge of the state.
Something you told me about that I thought was interesting was the, you said there was a lion? Was it a lion sighting?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, there's been a, once again, I mean, when you go digging, you just realize what a weird place Ohio really is.
Yeah.
Because there's been a number of not just lion sightings, but maned lion sightings. In other words, a male lion allegedly has been sighted by more than one person in more than one area. Oh. And there are groups of sightings, some of them, once again, from the Ohio River area. That seems to be a notorious area for sightings of all kinds of weird things, but you've got some there that date back to the 40s. Elkhorn Falls is a location that's mentioned that was, in fact, investigated by a deputy sheriff who examined tracks and said he hadn't seen anything like this before and actually issued a warning to those who were fishing the Ohio River at night, at least for a time. That's how seriously he took the reports and the evident tracks that he found. And you can fast forward to the 90s. In 1992, up in Mentor, Ohio, which is where I lived for 7 years, the surrounding area, Painesville Township, Mentor Police Department dealt with several phoned-in reports having to do with a maned feline, 7 feet long, crouching low to the ground. You know, there's one individual who called in and was really embarrassed and genuinely afraid that he had seen this. And
well,
you,
I mean,
you
we're
know,
we're in Ohio, so if you were, I mean, it'd be weird anywhere in the glorious country of America. But if you were anywhere in Ohio and you saw a fully maned African lion out your back window, I don't know how you would react to that.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of like what you could be misidentifying that could be.
Yeah.
You know, like Bigfoot, you could say, well, it's a bear standing, or a fully maned lion. Those lions are huge. That's not a bobcat. That's not a bobcat being misidentified, because bobcats are relatively small.
It's funny you ask that, because in this report, the police decided that everybody was misidentifying a large golden retriever.
I hope it was. Like, I really hope that was a golden retriever. Right. That'd be fantastic.
It would be.
That's crazy. So
Giganto, the golden retriever.
I just thought of one. an odd sighting. So I'm obsessed with the CVNP right now, the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, which is mm-hmm. the only national park in Ohio. I live about 25 minutes from it, and I've spent a lot of time over there this summer hiking around, and I actually even went out Bigfooting one night over there with a friend of mine, and we got a tree knock. I don't know if I told you about that, Mark.
No.
But I'll tell you about it here in a minute. But there was a sighting there, and I want to say it was the early 1900s, of a huge python, supposedly. Like a
yes.
massive python. Do you have
That's right. I do. That is the Peninsula Python.
Yes, Peninsula.
In 1944, the summer of 44 was the summer of the Peninsula Python. And that has an interesting origin story, and a lot of reports from the turn of the century and the early part of the 20th century all begin with this sort of typical circus train or circus truck crashes, and all the creatures escape into the surrounding woods, and most of them are never seen from again. Now, I don't know if that's what historical weight you can place on that, if any, but people were evidently running across this Peninsula Python fairly regularly for a brief period of time. And now, this python was fairly aggressive from the reports that are given. I mean, it would jump out of trees and land on people or raise up in front of a lady going out to hang up her laundry. Yeah. I mean, just...
It's like that Anaconda movie. Like, who was the rapper that was in that? Ice Cube?
Ice Cube was in Anaconda,
Ice Cube,
yes.
Rolling around Peninsula, Ohio. So I can see there being a snake in like some sort of exotic snake getting loose. This thing was huge, though, right?
Well, yeah. From the reports that were given, we're talking about 18 feet in length. So,
just your average run-of-the-mill python.
Yeah, you know, nothing special.
But I can see there being some sort of creature staying hidden in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, despite the fact it's a weird national park. I don't know. Have you been up there?
I have. Yeah, it's quite a bit, actually.
Cool. You need to come up and go with me. We need to spend like a day and a half in there or something and do some Bigfooting, because I did get a what I think was a tree knock back in there. I'll tell you what happened. A friend and I got permission from a park ranger who I had run into the week before. On a trail, I was back there by myself, and I ran into this park ranger, and we got to talk, and we talked for about an hour, and we talked about Bigfoot, and he happens to have an interest in the subject. And he gave me permission to go back in there after park closing. Park closes at around, well, they closed the national park trails at dark, and I was back in there till about, I think, close to 11. So we didn't stay in there long, but I'll tell you why, and it has to do with the fact that I'm a giant sissy. We're a friend of mine and I had found this pond back in the woods, and I was like, well, this would be a good spot just to kind of sit and do knocks, you know, see if we can hear anything, if anything interesting happens. I'm not a quote-unquote field researcher, so I'm not the type of guy who's out in the woods for days at a time looking for Bigfoot, but we thought this would be like a fun activity. So we go back in the woods, and we're back at this pond for about an hour. We'd been back there, and we were doing knocks every probably 10 minutes. And there's no one else around. We're a half mile back in the woods. We're a half mile from the trailhead, and there hadn't been a single car at the trailhead when we went back in. So we're back there at this pond, and I did a knock, and almost instantly it came back across the pond at us. And it wasn't an echo, because it was like I had knocked. There was probably like a 5-10 second pause, and then the knock came back. Mm-hmm. And I caught it, and my friend caught it. And he looked at me real quick. You know, we both looked at each other, and he goes, "Did you hear that?" I was like, "Yeah." And then, and this is why we took off. Almost instantly, maybe 300, 400 yards after we spoke, almost 300, 400 yards away from us came what sounded like 5 or 6 coyotes.
Oh.
Howling at us. I was like, all right, I'm out.
Like, yeah.
We packed up our gear and walked out.
Yeah.
But the walk, we actually had to walk back across the trail where the knock had come from. Because the knock had actually come. We had, when we came out of the woods, we walked over to the opposite side of the pond. And when we did the knock came from the other side of the pond where we had walked by. So we had to walk back out past that. So we had our, you know, normally you're supposed to walk around with the red light on your headlamp or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because apparently Bigfoots are scared of LED,
oh.
LED white lights.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Apparently that's a thing.
Okay.
So we were so scared that we had turned our flash. I had a giant mag light with me. That was on. We had our headlamps on. And I think my friend Nathan was holding his phone up with a flashlight on. And we're just like walking out like yeah. we're in some 70s horror movie.
Right.
And right. So that's my tree knock story. What it was, I don't know. We tried to figure out what could have made the sound. Because it was loud enough that I couldn't say, well, it was just some animal stepping on a twig. Like mm-hmm. it was obviously wood hitting wood.
Okay.
But tree limbs fall, you know, and stuff like that happens. So we were trying to rationalize what it could have been.
Sure.
I don't know if it was a Bigfoot, but I do know there's a lot of sightings in Bigfoot and in Bigfoot. There's a lot of Bigfoot sightings in CVNP. In fact, Mark Mazel, who you talked about earlier, he's a BFRO investigator here. I know he's investigated sightings in there. I'm sure Mark DeWorth has.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a lot of sightings in CVNP. So
now, this is kind of a weird question, but what mm-hmm. did you use when you made your knock?
Okay, I bought when we went to my wife and I went on a vacation to the Smokies a few months ago, and like the tourist that I am, I bought a Great Smoky Mountain National Park walking.
Oh.
Stick. So it's like uh-huh. a big, you know, like sturdy. So I smacked that up against, this is even more rookie-ish, but there was these wooden benches back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I just took it and smacked it down on the top of it, like the end of it. And it makes a really loud wood-on-wood sound. I mean, it's a good, you know, tree knock from my limited experience with tree knocking. And that was what I used. I've tried smacking like wood I picked up on the ground before against a tree or whatever, and typically it just like shatters in my hand.
Right.
I think that's more related to the fact that I'm so strong. Like I am
that's right.
I'm Hercules.
Just obliterates the wood.
I'm lucky I haven't actually knocked down a tree yet. Like that's
before
probably
before it even hits the tree, it's disintegrating.
I'll probably, next time I go out, I'll hit a tree and the tree will just splinter into like a thousand pieces. The tree will fall. I'll take out like a whole colony of Bigfoots. But anyway, so Ohio Bigfoot, that's all. I will say, if we're going to get into a little bit of the geography, where geographically where Bigfoot sightings tend to take place, it's not all over Ohio, and there's a very good reason for that. The Midwestern, the central Ohio to western Ohio, that whole area is pretty flat. There are some, I don't think there's a lot of hill. That is basically when you're getting into the corridor to the Midwest. I mean, that's when things flatten out, and you get a lot of farmers' fields and cities, and there aren't a ton of people that live necessarily in western Ohio. There are, but I don't think it's any more populated than, like, northern Ohio. But what you do have is that flat kind of farmer's field type thing. There are patches of trees, but there aren't a ton of Bigfoot sightings in that area. So the bulk of Bigfoot sightings seem to take place in northeastern down into southern Ohio, all the way over to south central, even southwestern down near Kentucky, that whole area. So it's this very kind of thumbnail look at Ohio. It's this crescent moon shape if you look at it on a map of sightings.
Right.
And it's kind of the Appalachian foothills and down into Kentucky mm-hmm. and that area. I think the most sightings take place, if you look at the BFRO website, they'll tell you Portage County or that kind of northeastern area, that's where they're taking place. But what I've seen is that they Coshocton. I'll just come out and say it. Coshocton, Ohio is where, from my research, that's where the most sightings take place. And I don't think a lot of them are documented. And I don't know if you agree with me, because I know you've done a lot of research, too. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the bulk of sightings
taking place? Well, yeah, definitely Coshocton does seem to be the very center of what some have termed the Sasquatch Triangle, mm-hmm. rather loosely. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where the points are necessarily on the triangle. It just depends who you talk to.
Yeah, it kind of depends on who you're talking yeah. to.
But, you know, speaking about the terrain really quickly, if people have never ventured very far south of Cleveland or very east of Columbus, it's striking when you encounter these rolling hills. All of a mm-hmm. sudden, it's like somebody flipped a switch, and now you've got truly the foothills of Appalachia and everything that goes with that, you know, dense forest and
limited population.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So that's, to me, I think I would say you're right. Coshocton has a rich, rich history of sightings going a little bit further south and east. Of course, there's Salt Fork and the region of Salt Fork. But also I would say then as well, that whole Ohio River Valley,
yep.
extending down all the way to Cincinnati, by the reports, you can run into anything along that river. Everything from the type of creatures we talked about in an earlier episode.
Devil monkeys.
Yeah. You know, black panthers, mm-hmm. the occasional misplaced kangaroo, believe it or not.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But Bigfoot, definitely. And it follows the old adage, you know, of cover and food and water. Mm-hmm. And even the occasional stray Bigfoot, if you will, that does appear in sort of the flatland areas of Ohio, is always going to be in and around a water source of some type. Mm-hmm. I know that you research a little bit about the marsh that used to stretch.
Yeah, the it's kind of hidden from history at this point. I've talked to people. I talked to a person at the Historical Society in Tuscarawas County who had no clue what I was talking about. And given Tuscarawas County is kind of far from the area where the swamp was, but there used to be a swamp that was hundreds of miles in square miles. It ran basically from not far below Lake Erie all the way down to like Indiana, and they called it the Great Black Swamp. And I the first time I found out about that, I was like, well, if there were Bigfoot back in those days, it would have been in there, because apparently, given the reports I read from early settlers, that area was full of like black panther sightings and bear. There were black bear, there were rattlesnake, there were all sorts of crazy animals you would not necessarily associate with Ohio living in there.
Yeah, so I think that once you get a sense of the terrain that exists, you know, Portage County going into Tuscarawas, and they used to have the Bigfoot conference up in Newcomerstown. Mm-hmm. And especially as you push south, you know, the likelihood that something could be hiding out there just increases exponentially, because there's plenty of cover and, you know, literally the hollows and the hollers and the water sources that run through and sort of collect down in the Ohio River. Clearly it could be, and it is, the source for many creatures that we know about, and evidently some that we don't.
All right, we're going to wrap this episode up. We'll continue with more Ohio Bigfoot talk in the next episode. If you want to find us on the web, on social media, or whatever, I'm on Facebook. Just look me up, Seth Breedlove. I'm also on Twitter, at Seth Breedlove. You find Mark on Twitter
at Reverend Matsky.
And if you want to send in comments or whatever, just send them to SethBreedlove@yahoo.com. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. That would be wonderful. And we'll be back for another episode soon.